Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you guys feel it? Can you just feel it? God's up to something this morning. He's always up to something, but this morning He's up to something here. It's something He wants to accomplish this morning. I feel it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a couple things here just as we're getting started this morning. First of all, I feel impressed. I'm sure Jean doesn't have the music, so she can play along great, but if she can't. But this was on my heart when we were coming up here this morning, when Bill and I were on the drive in, and I feel impressed to do it this morning. I don't know why, I just do, so I'm going to be obedient. And it's been a while since I've done this song, but it has special meaning for me. And listen to the words. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Today I went back, we went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, don't be afraid. You got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. With Harry's prayer and everything, I was just impressed that I needed to do that this morning. Somebody must have needed it besides me. Hallelujah. And that's a part of my testimony too. You know, even as a Christian, I wasn't what you'd call the greatest dad. As a minister, as a man of God, I made a lot of mistakes, but God saw us through. And thank God He's still working on me, on my kids, and all of us. Amen. We're not the people we used to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I want to read something to you this morning. I woke up and I was on the computer while I was waiting for Bill, and I was impressed with this scripture. And I want to just read this to you. Psalm 37, and we'll read down here a little bit, probably 3 or 4 or 5 verses. Just trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Well, that's verse 3. I'm sorry. That's okay. God must have had a reason for that. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Now there you go. There's God's opinion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, he's got one of two choices. This is a day of salvation. God admonished us to choose this day whom we will serve, blessing or cursing, or the world's father or our father. We've made our choice, haven't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this day and this time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your reality. You're a real God. You're alive and you're well. And Jesus, you are seated with your body, the church, at the right hand of the Father. And the enemy is our footstool. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you for this time where we can enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, where we can give you all honor and glory. Lord, this morning we surrender. We proclaim that our minds are receptive and our hearts are open to receive from you, Father, the truth. Let your word stand, let man's word fall. And Lord, we just submit to the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, bring our Father's will into this house and each and every life, and change us, direct us, correct us. And we honor you, we honor your word this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day. Bless your people. Amen. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we have today, and we thank you for each and every person that's here to worship you today. We ask you to bless everyone that's here. We ask you to bless this offering that we are about to partake of here, Heavenly Father. We ask you to help us have an open mind to what you have for us today, the word that you have for us, which is what we base our lives on, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you said where two or three have gathered in your name, you'd be in the midst. And Lord, there are many of us. We know you're here. We thank you for your presence. We sense it. We thank you for what you're going to do today. And Lord, we echo. We surrender, Lord. We surrender. Have your way in us today, Lord. Have your way in us today, Lord. Father, we want to be like you. We want to be able to please you. We want to be able to act like Jesus, look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, and be just like Jesus, who was obedient to your will, your thoughts, your plans, Lord. So today we surrender to that, and you have your way in us. Holy Spirit, you have free control here today, hiding me behind the cross. Again, thank you, Lord, for using me as in your oracle. And Lord, what I say doesn't matter, but what you say and what your word says does matter. So I thank you, Lord, for in advance for sealing it in the hearts of your people by the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, we give you praise and honor and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good to see you all this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask a question this morning. And once again, well, you know, you answer it the way you want to answer it and in your own way. I mean, your own, what feels comfortable to you. How many here really, really want to please God? How many here really, really want to feel and sense and know, not just feel it, but sense it and know the power of God in your life? How many want to be closer to Him than you've ever been before? I'm here to tell you this morning that that's what He wants. And, you know, we sing the song, you know, He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. But, you know, there's things that we need to do that make us and bring us to that place where we have that kind of intimate, close relationship that God desires. I received a phone call this week. And the individual on the other end and I were talking, and they confessed about pride in their life. Now, I'm not a confessor, but I am a man of God who's been called by God. And so are you, men and women of God, who have been called by God. And I'm reminded of what it says in Micah 6:8. He says, He has showed you, O man, that's Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And that word humble or humbly means modest or lowly. Not puffed up, not elevated, not thinking you're something you're not, but walking with God, understanding that it was His blood, it was His life that was shed and was destroyed for you and I, to cleanse us from all of our sin, to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, and to bring us into a close, close relationship with the Lord. Now, David was known as a man after God's heart. It wasn't because David was a perfect man the way you and I might think of perfect. He had many faults. I mean, he even had a man killed so he could have his wife. But when the man was confronted by the prophet of God, he fell immediately on the ground, and he rent his clothes, he tore them up, and repented in sackcloth and ashes. That's what made him a man after God's heart, is the fact that he loved God so much that when he acknowledged his mistake, he repented immediately. The Bible says if you confess and forsake your sins, or that you're supposed to confess and forsake your sins. Amen? Forsake them. Turn away. Now, I believe it's James 5:16, and we're going to come back to this. I've got it down here, I'm sure, but just in case, you can turn there if you want to. Well, I thought I had it here. Maybe I don't. So we may just read that. Turn with me, if you will, to James 5:16. James 5:16. In the New King James, it says trespasses, but in the King James, it says faults. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Set free or delivered is another way to look at that. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if we're supposed to confess and forsake our sin, for that individual who's on the other end of that phone, they said, you know, this is a problem. I know this is a problem. And that to me ministered to my spirit, because that's a person who has a desire to be close to God, to do what God wants, to be what God wants them to be. In every part of their life, they want to be surrendered to God. Not to their flesh, not to their likes, their dislikes, their wants, their desires, but to be, you know, completely sold out to God. How many want to do that today? Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6:3 says, "So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend." Now, I could probably say, and we could probably all agree, that that's probably more talking about if you've got an issue or they've got an issue with you, go and make it right. But the point is, we're friends here. Are we not? Are we family here? Well, that wasn't very enthusiastic. I can tell you we are. I'll never see it any other way. And so that the point is that we have to... How many believe in accountability? We all want responsibility, but how many believe in the accountability that goes with that responsibility? I believe in it greatly. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:2. You know, one of the biggest things that holds us back from God is pride. If you let it, it will hold you back from the blessings of God. It'll hold you back from being able to minister to people. And I would remind us all again, it's not about us. It's about others. And I would remind us all again, too, the fact that when you sell, you know, completely sell out, completely deliver yourself into the hand of God, there is nothing good that He withholds from you. Nothing. Those desires and things you have and the talents and things He gave you should not be a source of pride, but they should be a source, a blessing for the kingdom of God. Amen? God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to take them back. Did you hear me? The gifts and call of God. Did you hear that? The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. He never changes His mind, it says in the Amplified. He never seeks to withdraw them when once they're given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. Let me tell you what He says in Proverbs 11:2. What happens when we let just this thing of pride, and it's not just pride I'm talking about this morning. It's about every aspect that is anti-God and anti-Word, or where we hang on to something that's detrimental to us. Do you understand? Detrimental to you. It's not good for you. Amen? Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Let's go back to Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Now that word contrite means dust. In other words, you know who you are. You know what your original form is. And you know what God's done for you. Made you heirs and joint heirs. Made you part of the family of God. Made you part of the bride of Christ. And now you're seated with the body, the rest of the body, in heavenly places at the right hand of God. And the enemy is your footstool. The enemy has tools that he uses, just like God has things that He uses. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of. But the enemy has tools. Pride, arrogance, lust, these kind of things. And these are the things that bring men and women of God down if they're left unchecked. When somebody calls me up, and they didn't call me to tell me about the pride in their life necessarily. They had an issue, and we addressed that issue. But the thing that blessed my heart so much was they didn't come thinking they were going to be condemned. They weren't afraid to say, you know, this is my issue. I have pride in my life. They recognized it right away, and they confessed it right there, and I believe forsook that pride. Didn't give it a chance to grab a hold and take root. And that blessed me. It should bless all of us. Now, we don't all need to run around telling everybody about what's going on in our hot hearts and thoughts, except God. But if God requires you to, or you say that, we should all be mature enough to be able to say, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, or your trespasses. Trespass just means sin or mistakes. It's not sin unto death. Did you hear me? It's not sin unto death. It's a mistake. It's something that the enemy tried to drop in that got a hold of you. God gave whatever it is that's in you, the gifts and the calling, but sometimes the enemy likes to turn that to a source of pride. You get the big head. Don't you understand? Don't you know who I am? I don't care. I don't care. It means nothing. God means everything. Amen? Whew, boy, I wish you all would get enthusiastic. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God. And I'm going to make you look that up to find out what that word sacrifices means. Sacrifices to God might be a better way to put it. Are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, You will not despise. And that word contrite there is a different number. It means crushed and broken. The sacrifice of God. Giving up yourself in sacrifice to obey and to walk in the blessings and the power and the anointing of God in your life. So that when God causes you to come into a situation where your gifts and call are used or called upon, then you can minister in power and might, and people are going to be blessed, God is going to be blessed, and they're going to receive what God has for them. Praise God. Psalms 57:15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a... Did you hear that? With Him. Say, that includes me. Who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And that word means crushed. That word contrite there means crushed, or you allow yourself to be crushed. In other words, I must decrease and God must increase. Like John the Baptist said when Jesus was approaching the water that day. Isn't that what we really want? You know, I've watched preachers over the ages, over the years. I was one of them, so I can speak about this freely. Because I was in that club. Thank God I'm not there anymore. Oh man, you're supposed to rejoice with me. We're supposed to be doing this together. But they knew they were called, but they got out ahead of God. And I sat in those services, and I got nothing out of what was said. I heard the word, but got nothing. There was no blessing. There was no anointing. Now that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't there. See, the Holy Spirit operates as He wills, not as you or I will. Amen? That's the truth. You can say amen. It's the truth. And so it didn't make any difference whether I was blessed or whether I felt anything or not. The presence of God was there for one reason, because there were hungry hearts in that place. Those hearts desiring to be blessed by God and to receive something from God. And so the Holy Spirit took the word that was ministered, even though it was ministered, I don't know if it was pride or just plain, you know, out ahead of God or what. Doesn't make any difference. That's between God and that individual or those individuals. But the point is, people got ministered to. And I learned a valuable lesson that day. It's not about us. God gave these gifts and these callings for the benefit of His kingdom and for the world to be drawn to Him. Amen? So for us to get into conflict or get prideful or get arrogant or get into some other situation that's ungodly is not benefiting anybody. It's hindering the work of God. Amen? Amen. I guarantee it's true whether you and I like it or not. Isaiah 66:2 says, For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this will I look. On this one thing I will look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. In other words, you know who God is. You're desirous to please Him, and you're desirous to minister to others. And in so doing, you get ministered to. That's what God is looking for. Amen? And remember, we were one of the things that He made by His hand. Amen? And that word there, contrite, is different. It means stricken or smitten. Stricken or smitten. Proverbs 11:2 says, When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. That word pride there means insolence, presumptuousness, and arrogance. See, if we let ourselves get into pride, and this is just one thing. I could use other examples. But pride is usually the base root of all the things that cause us to go astray. Thinking we've got the answers. We can do it in ourselves. I don't need anybody's help. Oh, really? Somewhere I read that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not through me. Right? Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. And that's the same one as Proverbs 11:2. It's insolence, presumptuousness, and arrogance. By insolence, presumptuousness, and arrogance comes nothing but strife, and with the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised. This morning, we would all be well-advised to understand that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, including things in us, we need to put down, we need to ask God to create in us, like David did, clean hands and a pure heart, and renew a right spirit within us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:18. Man, that Proverbs is a good book, isn't it? Pride goes before destruction. Hello. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, pride left unchecked. No matter how much or no matter how little, pride left unchecked will bring you to destruction. It'll destroy your Christian walk. It'll destroy your Christian testimony. And it'll turn people against you. And not only that, it can at some point even affect your life in God. That's left unchecked. But for that to happen, you've got to be so far gone and so far out of your mind that you're not even dealing with reality anymore. Amen? And none of us are that person. None of us. Hallelujah. And what it's saying there is the same thing. The words are the same. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. See, I'm going to tell you something. That person, when they said to me, you know, it's just my pride talking. They don't understand the honor that brought them, both in God's eyes and in my eyes. Because that showed the heart for God that they have. It's not them that they want elevated. It's God in their life that they want elevated. Amen? That's what I want. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I want. And that's what I'm striving for. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. And in this scripture, the word pride there just basically means haughtiness or arrogance again. It's for from within... Listen carefully now. You got to mention. That's Mark 7:21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders. 22. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Verse 23. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Come in. Hello. We welcome you. Come in, please. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? A heart that is not under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God is deceitful. It's full of divisiveness, it's full of destruction, and it's full of ungodly things. We just read in verses 21 and 22. And it says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. And these are the things, like we needed a major revelation of that, that come from within, and they're the things that defile you and I. Letting those things be unchecked. Thank God, I know you all, and if those things are there, I don't see them, and if they are, now's the time to get rid of them. Amen? Don't leave here today. God's here to do something. He wants to do it for all of us. And James 5:16, I do have it here, confess your trespasses one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you realize that that's not only safety for yourself, but it's safety for others too? Now, Bill, what do you mean by that? Why is that safety for others? The reason it's safety for others is because, first of all, that causes them to be reminded they need to be of the same mind and heart. And an act like that, when you confess something that's going on in your life that you want to get rid of, and the only reason I know is that somebody want to confess it to somebody else is to be because they want to be rid of it. Not to be a braggart, but because they want to get rid of it. They don't like it. They don't want anything unrighteous in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. The word fault means to miss the mark, to err, or to be mistaken. Hallelujah. John 2:16, for all that is in the world. Did you hear that? Listen carefully. Brothers and sisters, family of God, listen carefully. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, what are we talking about there? The word pride there, listen carefully, this is pretty lengthy. Empty. Braggart. Trust in your own power and resources. You're impious, or it's impious. And it trusts in the stability of earthly things. That's what pride is. Amen? That's what pride is. Those are the things we need to stay away from. And we need not let them have it. But the Bible says that pride comes before destruction and then a haughty spirit before fall. We'll read that here in just a moment. Or if we haven't already read it, we might have already read it. So the thing is, we need to get rid of those things. If God says He's with the humble and He exalts the humble, then we need to be humble. And that means that the Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Men and women will acknowledge the gift and the calling of God in you and acknowledge your life in Christ. You don't have to say anything. When the Bible says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel, what it's saying there is it's saying, let your lifestyle. I mean, the Pharisees and Sadducees just, if you will, just vomited all over everybody with words. You know, they wanted to be seen. They did everything they did so men could talk about pride. Dear God, they wrote the book. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be exalted. Huh? Somewhere I read, God shares His glory with no man. Now you talk about, bless their darn hearts and mixed up minds, stinking thinking. Woohoo! They wanted to be exalted. And they didn't trust Jesus because Jesus was the epitome of that. They hated Jesus because Jesus was the Son of God. And He brought conviction to their ways because of His very lifestyle. What He said, but also by His lifestyle. Because everything He did, everything He said, everything He was about was to glorify the Father because it was the Father's will that He was fulfilling and carrying out. Is that not right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 5:30 says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. It's talking about Jesus, the Son of God. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I think we just said that. Said it a lot better right here. That's John 5:30. Jesus Himself knew that of Himself He could do nothing. So He did what the Father said. John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Hallelujah. Now, if that's what Jesus said, then who are you and I to think any different or to walk any different? Or to allow something different be in control of our life. How many want to look like Jesus here today? How many want to sound like Jesus? How many, when you look in the mirror, want to see Jesus and not you? Believe me, I've looked in the mirror and I know what manner of man I am. And that's why I cry out every day, mirror, mirror, in the book, show me how I really look. How do I look to the people around me? How do I look to the people that I minister to? How do I look to my family, to the people that I'm supposed to be walking in the right ways to lead them and guide them? How do I look when I try to lead by example? Am I leading by example, by the example of God, or am I leading by my own example? If I am, then I better examine my ways and I better repent and move on to the things of God. Part of that also is making a decision like was made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I won't serve pride. I won't serve the world, except in the fact that I'm doing what God wants me to do. In that way, I'm a servant to the world. But I will not take part in the things of this world. I want my life, I want my words, I want my countenance, the things I do, the things I say, the singing, to bring glory to God, to lift Him up so that men will be drawn to Him, not to me. Once again, if you meet me and walk away and forget who I am, you've lost nothing. But if you meet the Lord and walk away from Him, you have lost everything. Let me just put this out. If He's right and we're wrong, what have we lost? But if all of this turns out to be just words, there's no real meaning to it, which we know better, and we walk away from that, what have we lost? Nothing. We've lived a good life. We've lived a life that was honorable. We lived a life that caused men to be drawn to us and to like us. I would rather that they fell in love with the Jesus and the God that's in me than me. Amen? That's what I would rather. I can't save them. You can't save them. That work's already been done, but we can point them in the direction where the things of this earth, like the song says, will grow strangely dim. And it only happens in the light of His glory and His grace. Amen? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, that means lives or remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You might as well tie it outside, as Stan would say, as they say in Texas. Just tie it outside, because it's worthless. It's fruitless. It avails nothing. Right? Well, let me tell you, I've tried to do a lot of things in my strength. I've tried to figure out a lot of things in my mind. And you know what? It wasn't until I turned to God that finally things happened. You know, the one thing that I'm so excited about is every time I go to God, starting on Monday morning, sometimes on Sunday nights, and say, God, what do you have for your people? I want to hear from you. Not just for me, although I'm one of the people who gets benefit from it. What do you have for your people? What do you want for them this week? What do you want me to minister? What are your words for them? And God's faithful. He's faithful. When you do things acknowledging God in everything you do, when you call on Him in the time of trouble or the time of, you know, some calamity, He says He will show you great and mighty things that you can't even imagine in your mind, that you don't even know, you haven't even thought of yet. Hallelujah. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to be that person, and I want to be that person that comes and says, you know, if God requires it of me, you know what? I got this issue, and I'm sorry. I'm just letting you know. And what's going to be your responsibility if I do that? I hope it's when you're going to pray for me, and you're going to with me acknowledge it, and we're going to get rid of it, and we're going to go on closer to God than we were when we started our conversation. Amen. Listen to this, Philemon 1:14. This is a contrite and a broken heart and a heart that's after God. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. That your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Did you get that? Without your consent, God, I want to do nothing. That the good deed that I do for you, or that I'm doing, hopefully in your name, is not by compulsion, but voluntary. Meaning I'm surrendered to you, like we sang this morning. Surrendered to God. Give it all to Jesus. Amen. Shattered dreams, broken hearts, wounded hearts. Give it all to Jesus. And you're going to come out shining like the bright morning, like the morning sun, like the light that God says you are. Amen. Hallelujah. We read last week about the fact that there are pleasures at His right hand. There are pleasures forevermore. Amen. We read stories in the Bible like those who gave up their birthright for some simple little worldly thing. They gave up what was eternal for something temporary or carnal, fleshly. Man, what we've got is eternal. Family of God. It's eternal what we have. Hallelujah. Can't be taken away, can't be destroyed, and it can't be diminished by anything. No weapon formed against you. No plan, no attack, no device, no sickness, no disease, no monetary shortcoming can prosper. Amen. And when they do attack, God promises to turn those things that were meant for yours and my harm to good. How does He do that? I don't know. All I know is He does it. I'm living, walking proof. Many of you here, if not all of you, are living, walking proof of the goodness of God and that God's real. Amen? What I want when I speak to you, what I want when you see me, what I want when we converse, is I want to see your faith built. And I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see God. I want your thoughts and your hearts to be turned toward God. It's not that I'm so special. I don't understand. I'll just be honest with you. I don't understand why God called me to be a preacher. But He did. And to the best of my ability, even with all the mistakes I made in my young Christian walk, which has been a lot of years ago now. 2 years would be 50 years. Can't believe it. But I thank God for every minute of it. I've made some horrendous mistakes. God's always been there. Pick me up. Put me back on track. And He's been faithful to the call He put on my life. And I want that for you. You don't understand how much I want that for you. I'm sorry. I don't know why the emotions come, but they do. I love God so much. But that's what I want for you. So much. I've dedicated my life to that. That's what makes me happy. More than that is what makes my Father happy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer this morning, if you have an issue in your life right now, you don't have to come and tell the whole world what it is. You just want to acknowledge where you're sitting. You know, you have a need to God, or you want to come see some of us. We'll pray for you. But you don't have to tell the whole world. But I'll tell you what, there's freedom and release in saying, you know what, this thing's been plaguing me. I don't like it. I want to get rid of it. Or this is what's in my heart for the moment. That deceitful, desperately wicked heart that doesn't change except by the washing of the water of the Word and by the Spirit of God and the Word of God agreeing in your life. And will you let us pray for you today, please? If you want release today from something that's been plaguing you, that's been hounding you, that's been bothering you. Now is the time. I say this in reverence, not fear. We don't have much time left. We don't have much time left. The day is coming, like a thief in the night, where that trump of God's going to sound, and where the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, and who are in God, will be caught up together with the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with God. I don't want there to be one thing when I stand before Him that He has to judge me for. I want to hear those words, not just for me, but for you, each one of you. Well done, you good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love y'all. I want to ask y'all, are all your hearts clear? There's nothing we need to pray about? I'm going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to pray whether you come forward or not. The highest prayer and the best prayer that can ever be prayed is one that's a prayer of agreement. So if you agree with what God gives me, then you acknowledge it, say you're in agreement to Him, and let's go and have a blessed day. Amen. I'm glad I was here this morning. How about you? Hallelujah. I thank God for His heart for you all, but for me. Do you know that one of the reasons I sit here and I'm able to sit here every week? Do you understand that? It's because God loves you so much. God chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise and to bless people. I don't understand that. Not in a million years do I understand that. But I thank God for it. That He can take somebody who's as goofy, and I'm goofy, let me tell you. Let me just give an example. The other night, we celebrated three birthdays at my mother's house. My elderly mother, 91, soon 92 years old in December. And I was given a couple of gift cards. And right on there, in black and white, it says, "These cards at time of purchase are already activated." I'm trying to get on the internet to activate them. And I get a page that comes up that says, "This page can steal files from you and, you know, be intrusive and steal your identity and everything." So I shut the computer down right away. And then like a bonehead, I get on the phone and I start calling these guys. And this gentleman on the other side says, "Well, sir, you really don't need to call. It's already there." And I said, "But wait a minute, it's it." And that's where the conversation ends. But it says, no. Right there in black and white. Don't you think I felt special at that moment? What a dunderhead. That's because I was in my flesh. And quite honestly, not in my right mind. I was seeing, but not seen. How many have done that? Oh, you can be honest. God knows. You can't lie to Him. We're funny. We're a peculiar people. But God loves us in spite of ourselves. Like the song says, He loves in spite of us. Amen. But y'all, I love Him this morning. I'm sold. I'm sold. I'm sold out, and I'm sold. I've come too far to turn back, and I'm not entertaining the lies of the enemy. I'm not entertaining thoughts, and I'm not entertaining any kind of situation that might arise in my life. What more could I go through than what I just went through? In the ER, three times I cored. My life was over from every practical step. Circumstance and every practical point of view. And God chose to save my life. I'm a walking miracle. He gets the glory and the credit. Why? He loves you. Think it's because He loves me? Yeah, you're right, but He loves you. He knew that you still needed a pastor who cared for you. Not that somebody else couldn't fill my shoes. There's a lot of people out there who could. For some reason, God chose me to be here for you, but also for my family. But you are my family, more so than my real family. You're the family of God. You're the eternal family, not the temporary family. Now, they're still my family even in eternity, but what's going to be lasting is the family of God. And I'm not sure when I get there I'm going to know who my family is, or my physical family is or was. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to be right as cognizant of who the family of God is, because you're going to be right there with me. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. And right now, Lord, I pray for every need that's represented in this house. I pray for those needs that are spoken, those needs that are unspoken, Lord, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, mental, whether it's an attack of the enemy that I can't even conceive in my mind. Lord, you're in control. I honor you today. And I thank you, Lord, that your word says that all of those needs are met by your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's not just physical needs, Lord, but that's everything we have need of. Because you know what we have need of before we even ask. And we also thank you, Lord, that you told us to call on you in the time of trouble. If there's trouble or something in our lives right now, Lord, in these lives, Lord, that's troubling them, that's keeping them from walking in the freedom and the power and the glory and the joy of serving you, Lord, then I break that in Jesus' name. I command that thing to return to the one who sent it, to the enemy, and they're released now in Jesus' name. It's not by might, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, Lord, that these things are done, and by the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, they're free. I thank you that there's funds and money available where there was no money to meet the need. I thank you, Lord, that a heart that's broken, Lord, is mended right now and is healed, Lord. That those who are captive by whatever thing, Lord, I release them in Jesus' name. I command you, devil, get your hands off of God's property. And I thank you that they're free. And Lord, through this, that you will get glory. The kingdom of God will get glory and the kingdom of God will be built. Thank you for physical healing, Lord. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. Because you know what we have need of even before we ask, Lord. So I thank you this morning that we come in agreement, Lord, that it's done. We give you all the praise and all the honor. And we thank you, Lord. Give you praise, Father. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name. And all who would agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. Go with God. Be blessed. Hallelujah.